This is Fresh Air. Our rock historian, Ed Ward, describes Little Feat as the archetypal 70s band. They had a charismatic frontman who was a guitar virtuoso, they wrote wonderful songs, and they had an influence far in excess of their record sales. They also had awful luck, drug problems, and kept breaking up. With the release of a box of all of their Warner Brothers recordings, called Rad Gumbo, Ed tells their story.
If there's anything I did during my brief tenure at Rolling Stone that I'm proud of, it's rescuing Little Feat. During the summer of 1970, there were very few albums out there that I or any of my writers wanted to cover, and one week I took home a stack of 45s and wrote about them instead. One of them in particular grabbed me right off. The record was called Strawberry Flats, a slab of out-and-out paranoia set to a nervous backing, and the band was called Little Feat. All I could figure out by reading the label was that ex-Mother of Invention Roy Estrada was a member, and I wrote that I hoped an album was in the works. Right off, I got a call from the press guy at Warner's. "Do you really think they're that good?" he asked, adding that he hadn't listened to it. I told him he should, and he said they'd been signed to make the single as a favor to someone, and then hung up to check if the option had been picked up. It soon was, and early the next year an album appeared. I loved it. Needless to say, it stiffed. But back in those days, record companies stuck by artists they liked, and the Feat got a second album in 1972, Sailin' Shoes. By now, we knew a little more about them. Guitarist Lowell George had had a band, the Fraternity of Man, with keyboardist Billy Payne, and drummer Richie Hayward was in an earlier band, The Factory. Despite a bunch of good songs and a cover by painter Neon Park, the album stiffed again, and Estrada quit. It took two guys to replace him, but the lineup had finally stabilized. Richie Hayward, drums. Sam Clayton, percussion. Paul Barrere, guitar. Kenny Gradney, bass. Bill Payne, keyboards. Lowell George, guitar. They made another album filled with great songs, Dixie Chicken. And then they broke up again. Late in 1974, Warner's paid them to reform and make another album. Feat's Don't Fail Me Now was their breakthrough. It got them a gold record and a European tour, and after they returned, they got to work on the next one, the last record album. It was another hit. Uncle George's love of injectable drugs was an open secret by now, although he managed to make it through the recording sessions with A Case of Hepatitis. The next album, Time Loves a Hero, had only one song from him, though. The rest of the band was learning to work around him, and Barrera and Payne were writing great songs.
Now some people are saying that I'm crazy, 'cause my real name is just Jesse James. Well, I left them half-crocked, hard-knocked to Black Rock County just to ride on that new
August 1977, the band took a pile of live recordings from the Rainbow Theater in London and Listener Auditorium in Washington, D.C., and compiled probably the best live album of the decade, Waiting for Columbus. Some of Lowell George's vocals and guitar parts had to be overdubbed, but the rest of the band and the crowd response sure wasn't. It too went gold, and then platinum. It didn't surprise anyone then that early in 1979, Bill Payne announced that Little Feat was over. Lowell recorded a solo album, Thanks, I'll Eat It Here, and went on tour with it. On June 29th, after a sold-out show at the Listener in Washington, Lowell was found dead in his hotel room at the age of 34 of a heart attack brought on by drugs. The band reformed in 1987 and has existed in various configurations since then. Neon Park, whose real name was Marty Muller, died in 1993, and Richie Hayward died of liver cancer in 2010. But Little Feat continues to inspire young musicians, and their records continue to sell.
Rock historian Ed Ward lives in Austin. The Little Feat box set is called Rad Gumbo, the complete Warner Brothers years, 1971 to 1990.